The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Welcome. You are listening to AM 1030 KBOI The Voice. My name is Dan Gibson. This is the Bill Buckmaster Show. As you probably noticed, Bill Buckmaster is not here today. He is on vacation, a well-deserved vacation, as they say in the radio business. I am filling in today. Exciting lineup today, but also the rest of the week, 2 weeks, plenty of guests, almost all of them more competent at this radio thing than I am, but I'm going to do my very best. Ray Allen on the other side of the boards. He will be keeping things professional as far as he can do that, I believe. Today, we're talking about tourism. It's National Tourism Week. National Travel and Tourism Week. Celebrating
my favorite week.
All the magnificent things about travel and tourism. That makes sense that I'm hosting the show because I work in tourism. If people did not know, which they have no reason to, I am the Director of Communications for Visit Tucson, a job which I've had for 3.5 years, and I'm passionate about the destination, as they say. As is, there's a segue, our guest, Kat Rumbley, who is, what is your title at the Desert Museum now?
Marketing and Group Sales Manager.
Oh, okay. Excellent. And those are a lot of words.
It is a lot of words. I prefer to say marketing maven.
Maven. All right, sure.
Cover it.
Guru, czar.
It's fine.
Yeah. People have negative associations with the word czar, perhaps. I don't know. I don't know if you're allowed to say that. Tell me about, Desert Museum, obviously, when we talk about tourism all the time, when people are like, what is the one thing I have to do? We frequently say it's the Arizona Sonoran
Desert
Museum. Because it captures a lot of what's great about Tucson, about the Sonoran Desert, about Southern Arizona. It's sort of a cheat sheet to all the things that are around you.
Absolutely. We love hearing that. When's the last time you were out there, Dan?
My wife and kids were out there a weekend ago, but it's been a little bit for me, maybe 3 or 4 months.
Have you guys seen the new Pack Rat Playhouse?
It was very well received, which is interesting, because I was going to say is that, it's one thing to have this great experience, but also that the Desert Museum does sort of have to readapt itself. The audience is changing. People are, there are some people getting older that you have to sort of continue and enhance services to, but also younger generations of people, as the marketing maven. how do you reach out to people? I feel like this seems impossible, but there must be people in Tucson who haven't been to the Desert Museum yet. How do you get to those people?
Yeah, and there definitely are. Something, I moved here from Florida about 2 years ago, mm-hmm. so I'm still getting my feet wet in the desert scene. But, something I hear a lot is, I love the Desert Museum, but I haven't been out there since I was a kid, or like in 10 years. Yeah. So that's something as the marketing manager that I want to see change. I want the locals to feel like the Desert Museum is a place that they can come to more than once a year when their grandmother's in town. So for us, we're trying to reach new demographics. We have this awesome craft beer festival coming up, Party for the Planet, next Saturday, which I think is a great way to reach those audiences. We did it last year for the first time. And something that was really exciting for me on a personal level was talking to people. And they were just like, exactly what I said, I haven't been out here since I was 5. And oh my gosh, things have changed so much. I love it. This is such a cool event. Thank you so much for putting this on. So really reaching that local community and talking to the locals and seeing what they want from us.
My wife was out there two weeks ago, and even she hadn't been there in maybe 3 years, and said, she's like, it's remarkable how much has changed.
Yeah.
The aquarium, obviously the new Pack Rat Playhouse, but the agave garden was one of the things
newly renovated.
Yeah, she mentioned that specifically. So, there's programming changes as well. If people haven't been in the museum I guess I gave the rundown of that already, but
yeah.
in the last, 10 years or so, what are some of the things they have been missing?
A lot.
Yeah.
I would say the main things, obviously, is our new family-friendly exhibit, Pack Rat Playhouse. We also opened
air conditioning.
Air conditioning, which is key for Tucson summertime. And basically, you get to be a pack rat. It's kind of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but desert edition.
Sure.
So I kind of I want to see you.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids people.
No.
Okay.
But I want to see you in there climbing the prickly pads.
Sure, I'm in 100%.
We'll get a video.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Oh, if there's video, I'm out.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's why we're doing radio today.
Got it. Yes.
So Stingray Touch opened about 2 years ago. So mm-hmm. for people that have never felt the touch of a stingray, that's something pretty cool. Obviously, the question we get the most is, why do you have stingrays in the desert?
True.
Stingrays actually live in the Gulf of California. So we want to talk about why ocean conservation is important even while you're in the desert. So if people haven't been out and seen the stingrays, Packer at Playhouse, the agave garden, our cactus garden is blooming like crazy right now. Yeah. So those are just a few of the cool things that are happening. Like I said, Party for the Planet. We're going to have a fall food festival in November. So we got lots of exciting things coming up.
And I mean, you know, the ideal thing is that people end up becoming members, like they sign up and, you know. But I mean, there's sort of something rewarding all the time. I mean, I think people... If you're doing your life right, you know, you really could make it. It's an interest. The museum changes so much seasonally,
right?
So I mean, you know, right now, obviously, a lot of the cacti are flowering and things like that, which is, you know, they're pretty to look at.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
It's a little warm, but I mean, you can catch the museum early. How early does the museum open in the summer?
7:30 a.m.
Oh, there you go.
So if you want to be the earliest bird ever, you can come check out our birds. Be an early bird. Check out our birds. It'll be fun. I cannot believe I didn't mention this because summertime, but Cool Summer Nights is starting.
Oh, yeah.
So that starts May 26th. So that's every Saturday night. The Desert Museum is open, so you can cool off a little bit.
Well, that's excellent. And so tell me a little bit more about the Party for the Planet. It's on, there's like a day it's associated with.
Yeah, so Party for the Planet is on May 19th this year. We are celebrating Endangered Species Day, which is actually the 18th. So hashtag sipping for species.
You celebrate the species, you commemorate that they're endangered.
No.
There's like a separation there.
We're raising awareness.
Okay, awareness.
We're celebrating the species mm-hmm. and that they're there.
Right.
But we're also raising awareness about these incredible animals and what you can do to help conserve and protect them and their environment. We have 14 local breweries this year, which I'm super stoked about. We've got Borderlands, we got Mother Road, Barrio, Prescott Brewing Company, just a bunch of different ones out there. So I'm excited about that local touch.
I saw somebody was plugging it the other day.
Crooked Tooth, they're coming out. We got Giant Jenga, Cornhole. Tucson Improv Movement's going to be there, so you can get your puntastic laughs on.
Jokes
upon jokes. all of the puns. We'll have food. We're going to have stargazing, photo booth. It's going to be a great time.
And how do people get, I mean, like, get go to the Desert Museum website? How does one get tickets for this fantabulous event?
Desertmuseum.org/partyfortheplanet. Tickets are only $35, and it comes with 15 tasting tickets, which is a good amount of beer.
And you can, how's Uber service out by the museum? Is it?
Uber service is there.
Yeah, it's accessible.
We're encouraging people to carpool.
Okay, that's smart.
Eco-friendly, you know, that's a good option.
Is there a designated driver ticket?
There is. There's a designated driver ticket, and I can't believe I didn't mention this either. We have a VIP option this year.
What?
You get to party like a pack rat in the Playhouse. And it is the only time during the night that the Pack Rat Playhouse will be open.
Oh, okay. So adults who had a few drinks in them will be crawling through your kids' area.
Well, we're doing it from 5 to 6.
Okay, okay.
So it's before the actual event starts. So
okay.
They
you
will,
thought this through.
We thought this through.
Clearly.
They will only be allowed one beer, but it'll be a full 12-ounce pour from Borderlands.
Whoa.
It's going to be awesome, yeah. And there'll be past hors d'oeuvres. Pretty fancy schmancy, so.
Yeah. I know you did the partnership with Borderlands last year, the beer thing.
Yeah, the beer, Beatbox Bufflegrass. So they've been an amazing partner of ours, and we're in talks with a few breweries about doing some future partnerships and get some more beers out.
That's interesting. I mean, the community aspect around craft beer in this town is so cohesive. You know, people really connect, you know, and it really does work as a community, and that's sort of an interesting way to get in front of people.
Yeah, new audiences we haven't reached in a while or ever are now seeing our name and associating us with something more than, like I said, let's take grandma.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get that photo with the bat wings. I mean,
so many photo ops there.
It's true.
The treehouse at sunset. Imagine.
The Instagram game is
strong. The Instagram game is on point at the Desert Museum. If you just want some nice IG photos.
Looking for a new Tinder profile, like photo.
Yeah, this is the place to go.
I don't know how Tinder works, to be perfectly honest. Is there a photo?
I'm not going to comment on any of that.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Ray, you know, no, nope. Ray's shaking his head.
Yeah.
What else? I mean, is there, like, no comment from Ray. If Any other, like, what else do you have to plug? I mean, I feel like I'm missing out on some plug
opportunities.
I got like a solid minute here, right?
Yeah, no, I can plug something.
Okay.
So for those of you that don't know, we have a symbolic adoption program where you can adopt an animal. So for a one-time fee of $35 or $50, you can support our animals. You could adopt a javelina or a hummingbird. Please note that you're not actually taking these animals with you. That is a question I get.
That was a mistake I made with the prairie dogs, which was ugly for me and everyone involved at the museum.
Oh, my gosh.
It was embarrassing. I'm glad the charges were dropped. So it was a really nice
Me
occasion.
Too. I thought I was hoping you weren't going to bring that up.
No, well, you know,
here we are.
Full disclosure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Kat, for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
I know. Anytime. Next time, when I never get invited back to the show, I will absolutely have you next on the guest list for
it. Perfect.
Right. Precisely.
Can't wait.
Well, we will be back on the Buckmaster Show. Okay, I'm right. Okay, I'm good. I'm terrible at the radio. I'll be back on the Buckmaster Show briefly. My name is Dan Gibson. We have two more fabulous guests. You're listening to AM 1030 KVY, The Voice.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion, and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by My Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owners Steve and Sherry, they do a lovely job with European baked goods, breads, pastries, cakes, and luscious, luscious brownies. They are open for lunch right now. At this moment, you could be driving in your car listening to the Buckmaster Show, heading to Mona's Danish Bakery. Where is it, you may ask? Mona's Danish Bakery is on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to buckmastershow.com right now for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. You are listening to AM 1030 KVY The Voice. My name is Dan Gibson. I'm Director of Communications for Visit Tucson. I'm filling in for the illustrious Hall of Fame announcer, host, Bill Buckmaster, who is on vacation. We have 2 weeks, I think. 2 weeks or a little bit more of guests, hosts lined up, hopefully who have a better sense of what they're doing than I do. But I'm happy to be here, and it's Travel and Tourism Week. And one of the things at Visit Tucson we've been talking about more than ever, really, are is placemaking, one, and then sort of the connection between bicyclists, pedestrians, the sort of different ways that people experience the city. And I thought, who better to talk about this? Kylie Walczak, who I forgot your title. My tendency is anytime anything with bikes comes up,
master of none,
I'm like, oh, Kylie can do that. Like, I volunteer on Twitter for things. I just like, I'm always, you know who's really good at bikes? Kylie. Which, you have a title, some program manager?
Sure, yeah.
Is that's accurate?
That's accurate.
Okay, great. Yeah. All right, excellent. So if people don't know, which they should, what is Living Streets Alliance?
Living Streets Alliance is Tucson's nonprofit organization working to advocate for a thriving Tucson by creating great streets for all of us.
Okay.
The reason why I stumbled there is because we just finished our strategic planning process and have a brand new mission statement.
Oh, nice.
And that's it. We're trying it out.
Yeah.
So really,
seeing how it feels.
We're part of advocating for thriving Tucson.
Okay.
Vis-a-vis our streets.
And I will say, like, my son and I went to the Gil Havalosa. Did I get it right?
You can say Gil.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Gil. All right. I wish it were Heel, kind of.
I know. Like, Heel.
I know, it sounds so exotic. The lecture that Living Streets Alliance sponsored and brought to the Rialto. And it is really remarkable. I think even as we think of bike-friendly and pedestrian-friendly cities, I think the limit by which we think of them is often, you know, cities even domestically. But it was amazing. Like, he was the city planner for Bogota and just sort of reimagine the city in this really interesting way to sort of make things a little more forward, to say that the car isn't to sort of de-emphasize the primacy of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, I mean, I think there's always this sort of dynamic of like, well, what are we going to do about the cars? You know, how are we going to manage that stuff? But in it really is about livability, mm-hmm. you know, creating places, to me at least, that are, and selfishly, I always think that great places to live are great places to visit, and great places to visit are great places to live. So how does Living Streets Alliance, I mean, what are you looking for in a greater, more livable Tucson? Like, how does that manifest itself? I mean, it's a lot of things, but
it is a lot of things. And I mean, maybe by way of answering your question, I'll talk about a recent trip I just came back from, mm-hmm. which was a visit to Indianapolis, Indiana. Mm-hmm. I was there last week to attend the People for Bikes, Places for Bikes conference, at which a new city ranking system was unveiled. And I don't know if you heard, but Tucson ranks, not surprisingly, really high,
yeah.
even according to this new system that's never been used before, as far as being bike friendly. But the reason why we were in Indianapolis is because they really wanted attendees of this conference to experience the cultural trail. Have
sure.
you heard about this?
I have not.
So speaking of tourism, I mean, yeah. this thing is amazing. It is 8 miles of interconnected, protected bike lanes and
oh, wow.
beefed up sidewalks on steroids, mm-hmm. and like tons of planting, shade trees, tons of water catchment, water harvesting to grow vegetation along the side. So really, people walking and biking along this cultural trail, which, by the way, it's called the cultural trail because it connects visitors to every cultural location you would want to visit as a tourist in downtown Indianapolis. So yeah. all the museums, the, you know, the Capitol is there, the Capitol buildings, of course, the restaurant and the business districts. So it's this really lovely experience, and you you can do the whole thing without ever having to get into a car.
Yeah.
This is Indianapolis, right?
Right.
I mean, this is
it feels like sort of peak Midwest, right? Like
totally.
This is a place where people enjoy their large trucks and cars and they have an experience with them. But
totally. And I mean, the sense of place was just, it was lovely. It's beautifully marked. It's easy to navigate. I never even once looked at this map. Like, I brought this map in to talk about because I was like, how many miles was that trail system? I don't
right.
even know. But there was bike share located all along it. And I think what was the most, so this gets at answering your question. I think what was the most remarkable part about it was that you could literally feel like you could stop anywhere and have
right.
a chat with a friend, run into somebody, chat with them. There's public art all along it. There was a little free library system. And it was really clever because it was like designed to look like a bookcase, but it was like all weather bookcase. And then there was a bench where you could grab a book and sit on the bench and read. And there was a little free library underneath that bench too. It was really imaginative and lovely. And all of that got created with a very Republican leaning mayor in office who decided that he wanted his legacy to the people of Indianapolis to be all ages, family-friendly, connectivity, and quality public space.
Right.
Which I think is just, it just transcends all kinds of issues that we think about when we think about, well, do we have room for cars? And do we have room for people on bikes? And what is that interaction like? And so.
It was remarkable. I was thinking with Gil, which I'll stop saying heel right now, was that, you know, he was saying, you know, you think it's, you want people to feel comfortable on bikes. And, you know, he's like, it does take separation. You know, you have to think about this in a way. It's like, and I will say, like, I am a occasional bike rider, but I would love to ride to work. But I also think, well, there's a section of it where I'm going to be next to cars going 50 miles an hour. And I'm not psyched about that, you know, because it feels very perilous.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it takes deliberate decisions to say, like, how do we get to those things when we're talking about large road projects to say, you know, I think about the Broadway widening, and I don't have an opinion about it necessarily one way or the other, but it's like, well, how are we going to jam more cars into this space? And it's not, how are we going to make this a better thoroughfare for people, you know, as a connection, like the end sort of gateway to downtown and things like
mm-hmm.
that. And it feels like we're making progress on that front, but it's sort of a mindset that has to carry over to everything, maybe. I mean, is that, how do you change that? Is it sort of convinced, like, it's almost like evangelical in a way, maybe.
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer. I mean, I think about the strategies that we're using here in Tucson now, which mm-hmm. is taking advantage in the urban core of mm-hmm. the grid system that we have and taking advantage of the fact that parallel to every major arterial road, we have high quality, low stress residential streets.
Right.
And the Bicycle Boulevard Master Plan, which was adopted by Mayor and Council last year, but doesn't have any funding to build it out, would accomplish that, right?
Yeah.
So it would encourage people to get where they need to go using low stress routes that are improved with better crossings across arterials, so those hawk button crossings that we see all over town, and then mm-hmm. also better signage and traffic calming. And those are really popular because residents who live along bike boulevards see an increase in their home values when
oh, wow.
those come in. And then also they have like tons of connectivity options right outside their doorstep.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I learned at this conference in Indianapolis is that you can't shy away from the arterials because that's where people's destinations are. It's where the shopping centers are, the schools, the employment places. And so, yeah, I mean, we're not there yet, but we're going to have to look at how much space have we allocated to vehicles in this city? Is
right.
it enough? And
yeah.
can we start chipping away at reclaiming some of that for people, for transit, for bikes, for walking? And it's not about – I don't want people to think about this as a – spandex clad racing person. That's not you. That's not me.
Yeah, no,
right?
that's definitely not me. Nobody wants that from me, but yeah.
I think where we get hung up is that when we think in Tucson about biking, we think, oh, we're just making room for those people. But if we make high quality bicycle options that are protected and separated from traffic, more people will choose to leave their car at home more frequently, which will decrease the stress of the arterials needing to carry all those cars.
Right. No, I mean, and it does create, and people, they like to get around in, journalists ask me all the time when they're coming to town, like, well, can I get around on a bike? You know, can I get around by walking? And I'm like, yes.
Within
no.
a 2 mile radius of
right?
like, the U of A in downtown.
Right?
right.
I was like, there are those connections, you know, but especially where the resorts are, you know,
oh,
and
yeah.
things like that, they're not super connected by that. There's some access, but it's, you know, it's just, it's a thought process. And I notice so much more that, everyone, like so many people connected to bikes, they want to be out. And you know, we have 9-ish months of really spectacular weather and 3-ish months of a half day of really spectacular weather
and nights, long nights of
excellent stuff. And it's like, how do you get to those spaces to say like, oh, I want to walk from store to store. And how do you, you know, think of how people really have connected to the Five Points neighborhood. And it's like, well, because there's stuff to do right all around.
No, it really is about enhancing that public space with, I mean, so we were just, I just came from a observation at 6th Avenue and 7th Street. So that's in front of Miller Surplus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and in front of XO Roast and Tap and Bottle. And we're brainstorming ways to make that intersection feel less perilous. Because even though it is a relatively less perilous intersection compared to others, it still feels scary. And there's still a lot of considerations there that aren't being made for pedestrians and bicyclists alike. And also even for cars.
Yeah. We have 30 seconds.
Okay.
I want to give you a chance to wrap that.
Sure.
And I want to make sure we get the plug in.
Small things we were talking about is just like enhancing that area with more shade trees.
Right.
Adding some paint so that it communicates different things to people and to drivers, and adding benches and some extra seating in the patio because, you know, XO Roast is always packed now. There's low-cost solutions out there that can be temporary, so we can figure out how to tweak them and make them even better.
I have to cut you off so I could do the little thing. We'll be back on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you, Kylie, for being here, Living Streets Alliance. People can check out at livingstreets.org.
Uh-huh.
I got it. We'll be back on the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVY, The Voice.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
AM 1030 KBOI The Voice. You're listening to The Buckmaster Show. You are not listening, however, to Bill Buckmaster. My name is Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson. I'm co-hosting this, or guest hosting the show today. You know, Peter, there's some exciting news from Green Things and Zocalo Mexican Imports. Zocalo at 2924 East Broadway is moving soon to a new location on the 13-acre expansive Green Things site on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, with all the great Zocalo merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. Right now, take advantage of a great pre-moving sale. Items at Zocalo near the corner of Country Club and Broadway. So don't go to Brandy Fenton Park yet, unless you're going to see Green Things. But if you're going to try to catch the sale, go to Country Club and Broadway at Zocalo. There's a link to the Zocalo website at buckmastershow.com. Buckmastershow.com is also your home for podcasts, for archives of the show, and I think you can see what's coming up in the future. Also follow Bill on Facebook. He's really good at that. And you can see pictures of his vacation, which is a lot of fun. If you have any questions, I should have plugged this before. You can always give us a call at AM 1030 KVY The Voice. It is 790-2040. That's 790-2040. You can feel free to give us a call. Our third guest and third and final guest of this special Tourism Week episode of the Bill Buckmaster Show is Peter Catalanote. Did I get it right that time?
Catalanote.
There. So close.
Long Italian
name. We work in the same office, and yet I still was unclear on how to pronounce his last name.
For all I know, I'm mispronouncing it. Who knows?
That's who knows who's right?
Peter is, people may or may not know, part of Visit Tucson is the Film Tucson office, which used to be a part of the city a very long time ago. Yes. And before that, part of the clouds. No, that's not true. But Peter is one of the two people in that office who handle all of the things associated with Tucson film. And it's always sort of something when I'm out talking to people, they ask a lot of questions about film, always asking where are the film incentives? How do we get the film incentives? Why don't we have the film incentives? But they have an event coming up, Film Tucson, where you can learn more about the future of film in Arizona, and we'll talk about that and what's happening in film. Peter, thank you for being on the show.
Sure. Well, a lot of people don't know we actually do get a lot of filming throughout the year. It may not be on the level of the feature films that people are used to. Tucson has a long legacy of great feature film shooting here. Film incentives are the big issue, and we could talk a little bit about that. It's complicated. It has to do with some of the economics in Arizona. We've attempted to get some bills passed over the years, and for various reasons, they haven't been able to get to that point. But it's something we're going to still try to work on. What we'll do instead is be strategic and work towards the kind of filming we can get. Right now, the big push we have is reality TV shows, and we get a number of those throughout the year. So just off the top of my head, we recently had Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Some of you have probably seen that on the Food Network. They shot a number of restaurants here. We've had Chopped. We get a lot of food-related reality shows, which is great. And we also get reality shows that focus on the landscapes that Tucson has in Southern Arizona. We recently had Ride with Norman Reedus. Some of you have probably seen that on AMC. That was a fantastic show and really fun to work on.
But do you know when that airs? Is it still sort of out in the ether?
I don't know when that airs.
That's okay. Something to look forward to.
They generally don't let us know that.
It's a secret. But no, like I think what I always think is sort of amazing is you think of it as, you know, these sort of like, oh, filmmakers, they see how beautiful Tucson is and they want to film here. But it's sort of infinite. It's also that simple, but infinitely more complicated in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I mean, people can film anywhere, and they'll change the script to find the right, you know, to make everything connect. But there is sort of something filming or shooting or, you know, photo shoot or things like that seemingly happening basically all the time. It feels like you're working on something back to back to back, often layered on top of each other.
Sure.
So, I mean, give me an example. I mean, it doesn't have to be like a specific example, but how do you know, someone calls you and they say, I'd like to film my jeans commercial in Tucson. You know, how does that process sort of happen?
Got it. So the phone will ring. A location scout or someone on the production will generally call and ask us, let's say they want the look of Mexico. Well, Tucson has that in spades. So we send them digital files, photos. We have a vast photo library of different images throughout Tucson that say Mexico, that have the look of Mexico. And depending on the production and what they're wanting, they're going to like that a lot. In the case, I'm going to give an example, the third Hangover film. Everybody saw The Hangover. There was a second and a third. The third called us for the look of Mexico, and we sent them various things in Tucson that could be faked as Mexico, some of the historic districts and whatnot. And they came back and said, well, this all looks lovely, but we really want a border town. We want an actual border town. So we sent them images of all the border towns. We have photos of all of them, and they really liked Nogales, plus its proximity to Tucson was a big win. So we met them out there. They came, they flew out, and we had a meeting with set up with the administration in Nogales, the mayor, the city manager, so forth. And they ended up filming there for about a week, The Hangover 3. It was fantastic. Spent a lot of money in the area. So that's on a just a, in a best-case scenario, that's what happens. We get a call for a specific location that we have, and boom, we get them here, and off we go.
So the things that – and I you know, certainly like a variety of ways even like of the reach out, reaching out too, right? So I mean – not only is it the waiting for the call for the person who wants the look of something or is it investigating what options are available to them, but you're also Film Tucson is out in the film community introducing Tucson to filmmakers and the, you know, people out there, right? I mean, I remember you were in Los Angeles for a film convention. I mean, I'm understating that, but
sure. There's a trade show called AFCI Locations, and AFCI stands for Association of Film Commissioners International. It's all the film offices like ours around the world belong to this organization. We get trained by them, and there are standards that we adhere to. So that way, when location scouts and movie studios call a film office such as ours, they know they're going to get very high care, very specific to the needs of the filmmaker. This trade show happens once a year, and it's attended by location scouts from around the world and producers as well. They come out. Different regions have booths selling their wares, and Tucson is usually there as part of Arizona as a whole. Each of the film offices throughout the state are represented, and we sell Arizona, in our case, Tucson, as a place for filming. And so we do outreach in ways like that. Recently, there was an attendance at Real Screen is an organization made up of producers of reality TV shows. And as I mentioned earlier, that's something we go after.
Non-scripted entertainment.
Entertainment.
It's the term they prefer.
The better way to put it. And that's something we're heavily going after because that's really they're not as dependent on film incentives as the big feature films are. And it's something we can grab quite easily. So that's another level of outreach we've initiated.
It was a little surreal. I mean, my connection to the Real Screen thing was minimal, but you know, reaching out to those audiences, and you know, we do it a little bit in PR. It's sort of a fascinating thing because they care less necessarily about the look of a place, although they do. Mm-hmm. It really is just like where are these characters? Like, tell me where the characters are.
Yes, they want characters.
We met with. And I still talk to her for once in a while, a producer who did a show, you know, that's set in Oklahoma City, right? And it's because he was looking for street racers, people who do illegal street racing, and to create a show around it. And then, you know, he's like, well, what do you guys got? Like, you know, what do you guys have like that? You know, it's like, what? Like, how do you create? Like, that's not something you can create, but it is interesting because Tucson does have this sort of a lot of quirkiness, let's say,
sure.
To be kind, maybe,
sure.
Of people in that space, and it creates some opportunities to connect with these producers and to say, like,
sure,
hey, here's, you know, here's somebody we can work with. But it was fascinating to me because I, you know, and if anybody's listening who happens to be two Hispanic relatives who flip houses, I don't know how many times I've heard, there is a show for you, my friends. We can get you in production right away. It's surreal, the sort of interaction of that stuff.
Sure.
But I mean, it's working, right? I mean,
sure.
Like they come and they spend money and it makes the connection.
We actually, you listeners might be interested to know, we actually got a whole reality series because of Dan Gibson here. He suggested to some of the producers of, I forget the name of the company, Neon TV, that there was a character on Fourth Avenue that they should get to know. And Dan knew this individual and put them in touch, and they liked what they saw and heard and ended up filming their entire reality series on Fourth Avenue here in Tucson.
And that, I think, is coming this fall, which is super strange. We will talk a little more about film and Film Tucson with Peter here. We have a break. The last break of the show, a few more ads to enjoy on AM 1030 KVY The Voice. My name is Dan Gibson. I'm filling in on The Buckmaster Show. Stay tuned.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many, many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. You are listening to the Bill Buckmaster Show. I am not Bill Buckmaster. He is on vacation. I am Dan Gibson. I'm filling in from Visit Tucson, the Director of Communications. And we're talking travel and tourism. And you know, our office is a little bit strange because sometimes we have some sort of accessory things that not all destination marketing organizations, as they say in this industry. We have a film office. We're here with Peter Catalanote. Mm-hmm. Did I get it right that
time? Catalanote.
Excellent. I want a gold. It'd be a gold star. If you have any questions for Peter, you want to know how to get on a television show, Peter can set that up for you. That's not true.
But as best I can.
If you have questions about film, feel free to give us a call. You have one segment left to do so at 790-2040. That's 790-2040 on KVY. We were talking before the break about some of the reality show stuff that's coming. One of the other markets that I think is kind of interesting and makes a lot of sense when you think about it is the Mexican market.
Yes.
Mexico film market isn't necessarily as reliant on the film incentives.
Correct.
As Tucson, I mean, as some other markets are. How has that been working? How does that manifest itself in the Tucson film industry?
Well, just the fact that our proximity to Mexico, Mexico permeates our culture and vice versa. We've done a number of film productions from Mexico because if they want to tell the stories along the border or cross-cultural stories, Tucson's going to be a great place to tell those. So some years back, we had a film called 600 Miles. I can't say the title in Spanish, but it was actually in Spanish. They filmed at various spots along Tucson and the border crossing, and it won some awards at the Berlin Film Festival. We were really proud to work on that one. We've also been working on two seasons already and quite possibly the third upcoming, keep our fingers crossed, for a TV series in Mexico called Run, Coyote, Run. It's also cross-cultural. It takes place on both sides of the border, and so they've been filming all the stories in Mexico, of course, stay in Mexico, but the characters sometimes come to America, and they've been filming all of that in Tucson and Naco along the border there. So that's really exciting that they've shot two seasons of this TV series. We're hoping to get the third. So that's a big marketing point for us. Going to Mexico really makes a lot of sense. If they're not interested in the incentives aren't a driving force for them, then yeah, we want those stories told here.
How do you reach out to those filmmakers, those shows? Like how do you get into the Mexican market?
Got it. There's a local film festival called Tucson Cine Mexico, which takes place usually in mid-March. They bring filmmakers from around Mexico. They show films, current cinema from Mexico, and we make sure to attend that and be involved in that because we want to reach those filmmakers from Mexico, and we've gotten some projects through that. And it just keeps us connected to Mexico as a whole. And word of mouth, really. Everything that's shot here from Mexico has led to something else shooting here. Producers that work on shows here really like the locations. We have a very strong crew base, and it's really easy to film in Tucson. I'm not just saying that as a film commissioner. It's so easy compared to bigger cities, Los Angeles, Chicago, et cetera. So that certainly attracts more productions here, and word of mouth goes a long ways.
It was funny talking to some of the people at Real Screen, you know, and I was just like, they're like, well, how's the permitting process? Like, how long does that take? I was like, well, Peter goes over to the city mm-hmm. and he gets a permit and they give it to him.
Yeah.
I mean, by and large, and it happens that day. There is a real simplicity to the process here sometimes.
Sure.
I mean, there are things that are more difficult than others,
sure.
obviously. But, you know, we do have that ability. If we can't give them a check at the end of their trip here or at the beginning, you can simplify it by saying, yeah, it's, you know, you want to shoot stuff on a street, great, we can get you a street. You know, you want to shoot stuff in the store, great, we can get you in the store.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this for almost 20 years. I can tell you the productions, their jaws drop when we tell them how quickly we can get a city permit processed, that it costs nothing.
Yeah.
There's other cities to our north that I won't name here in Arizona, which charge $100 for their permit. Ours is free because Tucson's free and easy, and we want people to have a good time here and have a good experience. So we've kept it easy and free for that reason.
And not surprisingly, I mean, when people – part of it is really just introducing them to how beautiful the place is, to mm-hmm. saying, you know, how much they're – the guys from Citizen Pictures who did Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, I was at one of the days they were taping, and they're like, I can't believe how beautiful this place is. I was like, yes. that is factually correct, you know, and how those connections, the connections are interesting because Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, Citizen Pictures is a production company, and they have a number of other food shows in particular, but they also shoot car ads and other things like that. And it's like their CEO came down for the production of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And he's like, oh, I got to come back here. He's like, I want to shoot more stuff here, you know, and having these, like, you know, we have great places to stay and great resorts and all that stuff. Now it would be even better if you could give them money, but if you can't give them money, you can give them a spectacular looking project and stuff to see. That's the catch, is when people are always talking about how are we going to get another Hangover 3 or these major feature films. I mean, it really is the stumbling block really is that incentive, though, right?
Incentives, correct. So for listeners that don't know, different states offer tax breaks to lure films to their area. Any of you that have seen Breaking Bad, set in New Mexico, the only reason that's set in New Mexico is because New Mexico offered them tax breaks.
Baby Driver is in Atlanta because Georgia gave them money.
Exactly.
You know, like it's very transparent. When you see a bunch of shows set in Georgia,
sure,
it's because at the end it'll have a peach and say Georgia State Film Office.
Sure, and Hollywood will change the script to go someplace where there's tax incentives. The example, there's others, but the one that I remember the most is any of you that saw the Brad Pitt film, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. The original novel is set in, I want to say, Vermont.
Yeah, something like that. It's New England.
It's New England. And the script was originally written that way, but Louisiana was offering fantastic tax breaks, so they went through the script and changed any reference to Eastern Seaboard architecture or whatever, and they changed it to Louisiana and the
All of a sudden, Benjamin Button's favorite food is gumbo.
Exactly.
Works itself out. We were there, like the last time I was in New Orleans, we were driving back to the airport with, a van or something like that, and it was remarkable. He's like, oh, that's where this filmed. He's like, that corner is where they shot 21 Jump Street or whatever.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and there were like actively like six or seven productions happening in New Orleans while we were there. It's amazing, you know, the movie industry, as much as you would like to believe that is set on some deep artistic integrity, by and large, it's like, how do we enhance the profitability of this event so that, you know, we are making money before the movie is over, you know, and having those incentives in Vancouver, obviously, you know, it makes an infinite amount of difference. Now we just need, you know, NBC has all this like Chicago Fire, Chicago Police, Chicago. Mm-hmm. We just need like we need our own like Grey's Anatomy or something like that, so we can have a whole series of shows that set off in Tucson.
Our hope is that there will be tax breaks given to the film industry at some time in the future. As I mentioned before the break, we've had a number of bills proposed over the years. They've not gotten to the governor's desk, but that doesn't mean we're going to quit.
Right.
We'll just keep trying and just be more strategic about it. And in the meantime, go after the things we can get.
And there has been some progress in the state. You know,
yes.
I mean, having there is now a film office, right?
And yes.
Which there hadn't been for some time. Matthew Earl Jones, who is James Earl Jones's brother and a remarkable individual in his own right. I don't want to dismiss him there. But there is one thing, if people do want to learn more about the state of film in Arizona, conveniently enough, there is an event coming up where they can learn more about that.
Sure. The event is called the Future of Film in Arizona. It's going to take place Monday, May 21st at 7 p.m. at the Loft Cinema on Speedway. We're going to have a panel discussion, lively panel discussion, and a conversation with statewide film industry leaders, including Steve Brain of the Arizona Film and Media Coalition, Shelley Hall from our office, Matthew Earl Jones, who Dan just mentioned, of the Arizona Office of Film and Digital Media, and Jeannie Joseph of Independent Film Arizona. The event is free and open to the public, but we do ask you to RSVP if you'd like to attend. Send an email to Nicole Grant. Her email is N for Nicole and then Grant, so ngrant@visittucson.org. Just send her an email to let her know you're coming so that way we can get a head count. And if you have any questions about attending, just call me, my direct line, 520-770-2172. That's the number for Film Tucson.
Well, there you go. I am always struck by our film office makes things happen for people, and you know, and maybe somebody's listening, they have a friend who has a production company, you know, send them here. It's
sure.
So seamless. We're happy to make things. I mean, even, you know, it is remarkable how much stuff does shoot here. It doesn't.
Yes.
It's nice to have the big fish of the tin cups or the major leagues or whatever. Sure. But gosh, you know, there's a lot of things happening. And, you know, and people can keep up with that on Film Tucson's Facebook page. Yes.
Yes.
And there's a, and what's the, it's filmtucson.org. Is that the separate URL? They can go to our website, visittucson.org, and it's there.
Yeah.
It's there somewhere.
Yeah. We're actually at visittucson.org as well, but there's a link at the top that says film. Just click on that and you'll find us. But you can just go to filmtucson.com, which is our previous URL. Still direct you there.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Peter, for being on the show here.
Thanks for having
us. I mean, we work in the same office, so you were somewhat obligated to say yes to me, but I still appreciate it. It has been a joy. We have like a solid minute left. Thanks for listening to me fill in for Bill today. You can always go to buckmastershow.com for information about future episodes, about past episodes. You can check in, catch up on what you missed. Follow Bill on Facebook. It's a solid follow. He's got pictures of his vacations and things like that, and information about upcoming shows and lively discussions sometimes. Sometimes it gets a little nutty on there. Coming up next is the Michael Medved Show, by my understanding. It has been my pleasure. Dan Gibson for Visit Tucson. You can follow us at visittucson.org or Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. You are listening to AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.